Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. These first three chapters that we've looked at in the book of Ephesians is a theological goldmine. Paul has revealed mysteries that have been hidden since the foundation of the world. After this great outpouring of truth, Paul concludes this chapter by giving voice to the praise that fills his heart. He's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed by the truths that he has been privileged to learn. And now, at the end of chapter 3, he lifts his voice in praise to the one who made all of this possible. The Apostle Paul is overwhelmed by these truths. And the question is this: you've heard these truths proclaimed for months and months and months in these three chapters. And the question that we are all faced with today is, are we overwhelmed by these truths? And if not, why not? Why are you not overwhelmed by these truths in the book of Ephesians that we've looked at for months and months and months? These last two verses in Ephesians is known in theological terms as a doxology. The doxology is a word of praise. Paul can do nothing but praise the Lord after the truths that he has revealed. A doxology. Doxology is simply a statement of praise that honors the Lord's majesty, that ascribes glory to him, and exalts him. And if you're not overwhelmed by these truths, you're not honoring his majesty, you're not ascribing his glory, and you're certainly not exalting him. If you're not overwhelmed by these truths, I want to examine Paul's doxology and share with you some statements that Paul makes here. These statements exalt the majesty of God, and they teach us even more of who we are and what we have in Christ. For Ephesians 3:20 is about the greatness of God. Today we live in a culture that word great is just thrown around all the time. That great doesn't mean great. Great kind of means mediocre today. He's a great athlete. He's a great musician. She's a great actress. He's a great actor. Or a great cook. Great, great, great. This doxology, though, is about the great God. And the question is, do you know this great God? And if you do know him, are you overwhelmed by his greatness? Paul has spent considerable time describing the blessed condition of the saints, of the church. He reminds us in this doxology that this is not an accident. This didn't just take place by chance. We are saved because of the deliberate planning and actions of God. Let me give you a brief reminder of some of those truths that Paul has already shared with us. If you heard me preach for any amount of time, you know I stress the point of indicatives and imperatives. Paul has stressed indicatives for three chapters. Indicatives indicates this is who you are. Beginning in chapter 4, he's going to say, now it's an imperative that this is the way you behave. This is the way that you conduct yourself. When you go to the scripture, especially in Paul's teaching, in Paul's epistles, there's indicatives and there's imperatives. His epistles, Galatians, Colossians, Philippians, Romans, Galatians, they're all the same. The first half is indicatives, and then imperatives. This is who you are. If you don't understand who you are, you will never follow the commands of the Lord. You will never follow the law of Christ. That being said, let's look at some indicatives that Paul taught us over the last few months in Ephesians. In 1:4, these are all indicatives. If you're a child of God, this is who you are. Not, do I feel that way? Does my circumstances lead me to this conclusion? No matter what you feel and say, no matter what your circumstances say, no matter what even your brothers and sisters say to you, this is the word of God that is true. Amen. Ephesians 1 verse 4. Just as he chose us in him. Do you not see the greatness of God? He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. The greatness of God in our salvation. Verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Predestined. Is this not a great God? He didn't leave your salvation up to you. He chose you. He predestined you. And not only that, he has given you a guarantee. Verse 14. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Chosen, predestined, secure. Does that not overwhelm you with the greatness of God? Would you just sit there and that doesn't mean anything to you? It doesn't excite you? It doesn't overwhelm you? Maybe you need to hear more. Ephesians 2, verses 5 to 8. We see the greatness of God in our salvation. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. The greatness of God. He raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice, that's not in the past tense. He's not saying in the future, in the by and by when we get on the glory train and get there. That is your position in Christ now. Do you not see this great God? The greatness of God. Verse 10 of chapter 2. For we are, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The greatness of God. You're his workmanship, you're his magnum opus, you're his masterpiece. And the works that you do, he prepared for you before the foundation of the world. The greatness of God. Verse 20 and 21. Well, verse 19 first. Now therefore, you're no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You got people dropping dead trying to get across the border to get into this country. And we're fellow citizens to the household of God. And there's no striving after that. People are dying just to get some money and some ammo crossing the Rio Grande. And we're fellow citizens with, what? The saints. You're a saint. You're not overwhelmed at the greatness of God, fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You were of the household of death before. Death, condemnation, sin, wickedness, and in the end, hell. And now you're a member of the household of God. Do you not see the greatness of God? Verse 21, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God. The Jew reverenced the Ark of the Covenant because that's where God dwelt.
Now there are Jerusalem's people. And we have such a lackadaisical approach to this. God Almighty indwelling a believer. Are you not overwhelmed by His greatness? These truths should cause every saint of God to overflow with praise to the God of their salvation. Because He is worthy of our love. He's worthy of our devotion. He's worthy of our praise. We ought to praise and honor Him in a manner that He is worthy of. For He is the great God. He is the great God that didn't have to cause His face to shine upon you. That didn't have to make you alive. That didn't have to seat you in heavenly places. He could have just passed over you. But in His greatness, in His great mercy, in His great love, He made you alive that was dead in sins and trespasses. And when you hear about God, it's kind of like, oh, okay, sarah, sarah, what it be. Another day, you should be absolutely overwhelmed by the greatness of God. And if you're not, it's not God's problem. It's your problem. He is the great God that's worthy of praise. You see people, I see the kids with the ball players. Oh, there's Aaron Judge. Oh, he's so great. Or the musician. Oh, here's Beyonce. Here's Tom Cruise. They're so great. And here we are, children of God. We hear about the great God and say, yeah, okay. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. We need to heed the many commands of the Bible to praise the Lord. These commands of God Almighty are not optional. Turn to the Psalms. Let's look at a couple of Psalms. Somehow, you know, we think this is optional. Not optional. Psalm 47:1-2. Oh, clap your hands, all your peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great King over all the earth. Shout to God. That's what it means. It's a command. It's not, isn't God good? Shout to God with the voice of triumph. Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. That's not... give it a little lip service every now and then. That should be, you jump out of that bed and you hit the floor and that's what's in your mind, in your heart, in the inner man. I have eternal life. He's forgiven me my sins. I'm commanded to praise Him. I'm a saint. I'm seated in heavenly places. When I see Christ, I shall be like Him. And it's like, well, the weather's bad today. It's cloudy. It's sunny. The car needs a tune-up. Just grumbling, moaning. It's like, this is the great God we got here. The great God. Turn to Hebrews 13. Verse 15. As I said, brothers and sisters, if you're a child of God, this is not optional. Well, you know, I don't praise Him. You know, I don't want to look foolish after all. Well, you have more respect for men and women than you do for God Almighty. I don't want to say nothing. Might look foolish. Hebrews 13, verse 15. This is a command, brothers and sisters. Therefore, by Him, let us continually. I bet you right now you want that air conditioner to continually run for the next hour or so.
You don't want that air conditioner broken down. Because it gives you a nice comfort. You feel nice and comfortable. Therefore, by him let us continually offer. Offer. That word offer is part of the word offering. You're to offer what? The sacrifice of praise to God. Continually, you're to bring the offering of that mouth. That is continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Just someday, take a sheet, write in half, column A, column B. Put all your grumbling on one side and put all your praise in the Lord on the other side. I guarantee you, you start living in column B, column A will kind of fade away. You're grumbling all the time because you're not praising all the time. You're either grumbling or you're praising. You can't do both at the same time. I can't praise the Lord with my lips and be like, Lord, I'm mad at you today. It's awful cloudy. It's awful hot. We're in Florida. It's 95. Relief in the heat. I mean, brothers and sisters, do we need to get busy praising him or not? I mean, you ask the Lord yourself. I'm showing you the text. You bring it up with him. No, I don't have to sing to you. I don't have to praise you. I don't have to continually praise you. The fruit of my lips giving thanks. Having told us about the glory of God in saving us, Paul now prays for the church specifically back in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 16 through 19. That he would grant you. That he would grant you. That he would give you this gift. That he would show you grace. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might. That word in Greek is dunamis. Power. Power. Strengthened with power through his spirit. Not you lifting up your bootstraps. Through his spirit. Where? In the inner man. That's how the inner man is developed. You're meditating on the truth. You're praising the Lord with your praise, with your lips. You're praying to him. You're reading the words. You're meditating on him. You're fellowshipping with the saints. Then you'll be strengthened moment by moment because God's supplying the gift. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Notice, true faith. True faith. True faith so that you, for this purpose, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with, notice, all the saints. This is the crew you hang out with now. Saints. He took you from this crew and he moved you into this crew. You were sinners and now you're a saint. You were unrighteous and now you're righteous. You were wicked, now you're godly. That you would be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. The love of Christ. No matter how much you're loved on this earth by your spouse or anybody else, the love of Christ surpasses that knowledge. Anybody that has ever been loved or is in a blessed, loving relationship, it's just like, wow, this is great. And Christ says the love of Christ is beyond that. You can't even comprehend it. And that doesn't overwhelm you by his greatness. When you look at all of these truths from Ephesians 1 in the beginning up to this, dwelling in your heart's true faith, rooted and grounded in love, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that for this purpose, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. The scripture promises that you could be filled with all the fullness of God, and yet you run to and fro to fill yourself with the things of this world.
You can be filled with the fullness of God. I mean, how do you even wrap your head around that? I guess that's why it says, passive knowledge. Filled with the fullness of God? If you can't comprehend being filled with the fullness, you can at least say, wow, you know, I ought to make an effort in that direction. I mean, what's the world got to offer? It's wood, hay, and stubble. That you could be filled with the fullness of God, seated in heavenly places. You'll be as Christ. You talk about a doxology. No wonder Paul is like, I can't keep the praises down. And the question is, if Paul can't keep the praises down, and you got to admit, I'm kind of praising him a little bit. That is what all of us need to do. While we're unable to do any of the things that Paul mentioned on our own, notice what it says in verse 20. Now to him who is able. God is the one who enables. He's the enabler. We see the greatness of God in the word able. He's capable. He's strong. He's powerful. That's what Christ was talking about in Matthew when he said, all authority has been given to me. And if you come to me and feed on me and dwell on me, you're going to know my love. You're going to be filled with basically as much of God as you want. That's what it means to be filled with the fullness is this. As much as you want of God, he'll give you. You have not because you ask not. And then your actions betray your belief. You can't say, I want all the fullness of God, but I got the newspaper open, I'm watching the TV, I'm on the phone with so-and-so, I'm looking at the ad, I'm in Publix, I'm at Walmart, I'm in the car, I'm all the... How are you going to be filled with the fullness of God? And you can do all of those things, but in the process, be filling yourself with God. But what's the focus? You know what your focus is. You know what your focus is. We see the greatness of God in the resurrection. Let's look at a few places we see the greatness of God. Not only in salvation. You see the greatness of God in the resurrection. Revelation 1, verse 18. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. I was dead. Talk about the greatness of God. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And he has promised everyone that comes to Jesus Christ the same exact thing. And Christ says, he has the keys to Hades and death. I mean, you watch commercials and all it is people trying to cheat that. Let me try this cosmetic, let me try this, get my face pulled up, pulled down, pulled sideways. It's like, let me get this, magic, and not that it's wrong to take care of yourself, don't misunderstand me. But is your attitude really for me to live as Christ? But, you know, it's really better for me if I go to glory. Or are you hanging on to this life tenaciously? Because that's where your hope is. That's why you got such a grip on this life. For me personally, it's better that I go to glory. But for my wife and those that I've ministered to, it's better that I stay. Now that might sound like a prideful statement, but that's what the Apostle Paul said. And that should be every one of us. Because if you don't want to be with God, right now you're saying that person, that thing, you love more than he does. I mean, I want to be with my wife in an hour and a half from now, but I'd rather be with God. Not personal, beloved, you know that. We see the greatness of God in the resurrection. We see the greatness of God in creation. Look at Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17.
For by him all things were created that are on in heaven, that are on the earth, visible, invisible, dominions, principalities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. The greatness of God. In your salvation, the greatness of God in the resurrection, the greatness of God in creation, the greatness of God in revelation. Look at Ephesians 1 verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Most people's approach to the scripture is kind of lackadaisical. Oh, well, you know. God didn't have to reveal his mind to anybody. He could have left Adam and Eve right where they are, go to hell, and that's it. He revealed to them the way of salvation. And he could have passed you right by and left you in your way. But we see his greatness in his revelation of himself to mankind. The greatness of God in creation, the greatness of God in salvation, the greatness of God in the resurrection. Do you not see the greatness of God? We see the greatness of God in the manifestation, the displaying of himself, the presentation of himself. Look at Jeremiah 32. The great God has revealed himself, brothers and sisters, and that should cause you to absolutely praise him every day of your life. More and more, day after day after day, for he's worthy. Doxology. A word of praise. Jeremiah 32:17-19. This is your God, brothers and sisters. And if you're not a child of God today, he's still God. Verse 17. Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Notice. There is nothing too hard for you. What are you sweating about? It's simply you don't trust him. There's nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands. And you repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. You ever notice whatever sin you're involved in? Your mommy and your daddy was probably involved in it, and then their mommy and daddy, and it goes on and on and on all the way back. The great God, the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them, the great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Is this the God that you serve? The great, the mighty God. I hear what people think of God when I stand in the supermarket and a little 3-year-old kid goes, OMG. What do you think that kid is saying? Or their parent? Oh my God. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Oh my God. Where is the concept of the great, the mighty God whose name is the Lord of hosts? The host is the armies of heaven. He's great, he's mighty, and he's over all the hosts of heaven and every molecule ever created. You are great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open to all the ways of the Son of Man, the sons of man, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God is not going to be mocked. And I'm reading to you from the scripture. If you think you're getting away with something, you're not getting away with anything. God is patient. He's the great God. And the God that is portrayed today, Jesus is my homeboy. He ain't your homeboy. This is the great God that we're talking about. Where is your honor and your respect? And once again, just imagine, I seen the people yesterday at the ball game. Oh, the king was here, the prince was here, oh, the princess was here. And the people were falling over themselves in adoration.
And our approach is this flippant approach to the great God, as opposed to Paul. He can't control himself. Notice what he says in Ephesians 3:20. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know what that is? That's a pyramid of praise. He's able. He's able to do. He's able to do exceedingly. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. He's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond. Paul wants you to understand the greatness of God. He spent 3 chapters telling you all that he has done for you. And he basically can't control himself. Exceedingly, abundantly, above and over. He can't, he's running out of words. Far too many of us fail to enjoy the privilege of seeing God in our lives because we fail to follow the pattern that the Scripture has laid out for us. That's why you don't see God moving mightily in your life. You will not, you refuse to follow the pattern that God Almighty has laid out. It's like you're playing a game that you're not going to win. And God in His mercy, hopefully, will bring you to the place that you realize that. That you throw up your hands and you surrender. I mean, what's going on today, universally in the church, is an absolute abomination. There's no other word for it. Our God is great. Read the book of Revelation. That's a great God. I just read to you in Jeremiah. It's a great God. And like I said, there's just this lackadaisical approach. Your attitude needs to be, for me to live is Christ. Christ above everything. The Scripture is clear. The great pearl, the treasure, above and beyond. What do you think Lord means? Lord means, hey, I'm ruling and reigning over everything, not you. This is nothing but will worship. When we're in fellowship with the Lord, walking with Him, obeying Him, He'll work in us. Never forget this. Your actions always betray your beliefs. You can tell me whatever you want to tell me, but your actions betray your beliefs, and I can't even read your heart, so who are you fooling with God? He knows exactly what's in your heart, all the excuses, all the conniving, all the manipulations, all of that stuff. And God says, I'm a great God that's worthy of all praise. What do you think bow the knee means? You're bowing your knee to a sovereign God. Not a sovereign, the sovereign great God. And as I said, Paul is just overwhelmed. My buddy's giving me the high sign there. Every believer should want a closer walk with the Lord. To lead a holier life. And to honor God. And to serve Him faithfully. We ask for that. We pray for that. Often. And we think that we'll never achieve our spiritual goals. And we can't in and of ourselves. In and of ourselves we can't. That's where faith comes in. The Scripture 3 times says, the just shall live by faith. All of these things that you heard today, it's only possible by faith. Faith what? In yourself? No. Faith in the God that made the promises. He said He'll empower you to live this way. But you have to present your body as a living sacrifice. That's what Romans 12 verse 1 means. I'll close with that. Turn to Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. If you haven't committed those verses to memory, I would strongly suggest that you do. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren. I beseech means I'm begging you. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking for God saying, I'm begging you. Here's God begging. You therefore, brethren. So he's indicating what? That you're a saint. You're a child of God. By the mercies of God, that's how you're a saint. That, notice, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This ain't crazy talk. This is reasonable, he's saying. Your body, what? A living sacrifice. Not like the dead animals in the Old Testament. A living sacrifice. You present your body. Don't be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One thing that I know, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You will never praise the greatness of God until you renew your mind. If you are not reading the scripture, you are not renewing your mind. It's that simple. Scripture is hard to do it every day, but you have to determine in your mind that I'm going to do this. I'm going to present my body as a living sacrifice, and I'm going to open that word of God, and I'm going to study it every day of my life. And you know why? Where's my brother in the back, Dennis there? He preached about the bread of life. The word is the bread. Obviously in Christ. I'm sure there's not anybody here, unless somebody is fasting for the whole day, that's not going to eat today. You're going to go out, you're going to leave here, either go to a restaurant or go home, eat either lunch or dinner. Like I said, maybe somebody in our midst is fasting. I don't want to rule that out. Well, you'll be eating tomorrow, I guarantee you. Even if you are fasting today. But you will never change in your walk with the Lord if you don't renew your mind every day. There's no way around it. If you can't read the Bible, then put it, they got every kind of cassette, the young people like cassette, what is dude talking about? CDs, cassettes, podcasts, whatever, on your gizmo, alright? You can read the Word of God. So if you want to become more Christ-like, get in the Word every day. Determine in your mind, I'm going to study the Bible. And if I don't understand what I'm reading, there's a million commentaries. Go to the commentary. Ask one of the elders. Ask an older brother or sister in the Lord. And that being said, let all the people of the Lord praise Him. And Father, we thank You. We thank You for the Word of God. Father, we thank You that You've revealed Yourself to us. You manifested Yourself to us. You made us alive, and that's the only reason why we even have a desire to be conformed into the image of Christ, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because, Father, You have put the divine nature in us. Whereas one time all we possessed was the nature of sin, a sinful nature, a body of death. But now, how much more glorious, You have imparted the divine nature inside. And Father, we would pray that we would work on the inner man day after day. That we would set that goal. That even as we eat physical food every day, that we would commit to eating the spiritual food every day. And Father, I would ask You these things in the precious name of Christ, that it would be a reality in each and every one's life that is gathered here today and each and every one that will listen via the internet, Father. And we thank You and we praise You for Jesus Christ. Amen.